We don't want to be powerless in this day. We want to be able to operate in the things that God has called us to do. That's what we want to be able to do right now, saints. We want to be able to operate in the gifts and callings that God has called us to do at this time. God don't want the church getting along on Easy Street, working works without substance, working dead works without faith. Letting the seed, when you're doing that dancing, that stuff is not, it's not producing faith that will heal people. That's, and see, that's why it's a dead work when it comes to the works that God wants us to do. Not that it's not a work, and not that it doesn't have its purpose, but that's, it's just not what God wants us to do. You know, it's not letting the sick, it's not healing the sick and raising the dead and those things that God called and Jesus did. You know, we're letting the sick walk in sick and leave out sick. Then Jesus gave us, when Jesus gave us the power to heal the sick, you know, and to cure all diseases, we must be able to discern what time we're in. You know, our assignment is to do the works of the kingdom. And we
have in you. This is what we'd like to call you, Jesus, Jesus. That's what we call you, yeah. You were born in a manger, but on a tree,
you died to save man, the
teacher. This is KAYT. Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
From the book of Judges, chapter 3, verse 31. Judges, chapter 3, verse 31. And while you're turning there, I think it's important to recognize, how many of you ever had a favorite song? What do you do with a favorite song? You sing it, you play it over, you listen at it over and over again, and every time, especially until you get to know it, you keep listening to make sure you got every word right, making sure that you understand the message from the messenger in that, and many times you're able to match that message with the mess that's going on in your life. Amen, somebody. So since you have it, say amen. Amen. Begin reading now, Judges 3:31. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. The last time I spoke from this message, I talked about strategies of success. And Shamgar, in this case, was a mighty man of valor like Gideon was. And yet there are things about this man that still comes to light and still encourages me and still inspires me. One of the things that I found most interesting is the fact that this man delivered Israel by the simple principles that I'm going to share with you today. Mm-hmm. One man against an army of the Philistine. Some say, Philistine, it's your pleasure. But Philistine, here is my pleasure to say, were invading the countryside. They had taken over all of the public highways. They could not use the Israelites, their own city streets and highways. They had to go in and through other neighbors' fields and pathways to get around the city, you know, the back way, because if they had used the highways and byways, many of them either had to pay a toll or a price for trying to use the main roads. The Philistines had invaded all of Israel, and they were under captivity. In that fifth chapter and the eighth verse, it tells us that they had 40,000 men under Deborah's judgeship that tried to have some weaponry to fight, and discovered that the Philistines had stripped them of all of their weaponry, so they didn't have a sword nor a shield to defend themselves. And so the Philistines also used all of their evil methods, all of their evil trickery, all of the mean things that folk do in war to captives, to the Israelites. But there is one man by the name of Shamgar, who stood up for what God had given to him. Now, again, I'm amazed, because all that we know about this man in the entire word is about 45 words. Can you imagine somebody who delivered Israel and all that is said about them is 45 words? It shows you that action speaks louder than words. There are 26 words in verse 31, and all of them pretty much have to do with Shamgar. But in chapter 5, verse 6, the first 9 words are about Shamgar. And then the second 5 words, or group of words, are about Jael. And then the next 10 words are about them both. If you add them together, the 26 here and the 19 words in verse 6 of the chapter 5, it gives you a total of 45 words. And that's all we know from the Bible about Shamgar. But let me share something with you, because he gives us some strategies that I think will be helpful in our lives in fighting the spiritual warfare that we have. I think it's important to recognize that the more you learn how to handle situations that seem impossible, the better you're going to fare with them, if you have the ability to know strategy that will bring you success. Strategy number one, here was a man who surveyed his own surroundings. That's how he started, surveying his own surroundings. Meaning he looked at his grounds, he looked at the property he owned, he looked at the buildings on his property. He learned about the access and the exits and how they could play a role in him thinking about how to either hide when they came, or to do a sneak attack, or where he had the ability to go in and do a certain thing offensively or defensively. And so he surveyed his own property. He analyzed, or he was aware of his area. He's aware of his area. What's important about being aware of your area? Listen, my brothers and sisters, if you don't know nothing else, you ought to at least know what you've got. You ought to know how to use what you've got. And it's important to understand so that if you don't know, then you don't know what you're able to do when trouble arises. I was clear and aware of his area. B, he assessed what was available to him. He assessed what was available. Listen, he didn't just check his property out. He was checking everything in his property to see how he could use it in either an offensive mode or a defensive mode. How could I take this or use this to help me in this fight? Then C, he was assured of his ability. See, one of the things you've got to know, my brothers and sisters, is your strengths and your weaknesses. The Bible teaches us, do a man first not sit down and count up the cost before he tries to build a house? Lest he start building that house and find in the middle of building his house, he does not have sufficient funds to finish it. Or a king start a war and not know how many men in his army against the men's army who comes against him. And if the men who come against him's army is far greater than his, what strategies will he use? The point is, he has to count up the cost. I may not have the same amount of men, but I have, listen, the strategies of how to win this war, because you brought the fight to me. See, it's one thing when you go out to another man's place to fight, but it's a whole nother thing when a man come to your place to fight. So he was assured of his ability and what he could do. Strategy two, he studied his situation. And that's so important, because what Shamgar did was he made sure he understood the enemy and what was against him. He understood what needed to be done to win this thing. Sometimes you got to learn that a victory does not come all at once. Sometimes you've got to learn when you're outnumbered and when things don't look good for you, you got to take a little win. Yes, sir. And one of the good things about a little win is, I believe it was John D. Rockefeller Jr. Who said, the secret of success is doing something common in an uncommonly good way. In other words, you do something that is simple and plain, but you do it so well, and then you redo it, and then you in other words, when you make a success of this one time, don't stop at the one time. Do it again, and that same success comes back again. Do it again. And you'll see that in the text, because the Bible says that he slew 600 men of the Philistine. One man killed 600 men. Now, how did he do that? A, he used his head for investigation and imagination. He investigated again his people against him, and he investigated what he had with him and who he had with him. And so therefore, he used his imagination. Now, I've surveyed my property. I've surveyed everything I can use. What do I have? And so you're going to discover that he made clear that imagination told him that he could turn an everyday farm into an instrument of destruction. B, he used his heart. His heart was full of faith. And listen at this, his faith overcame the facts. His faith overcame the facts. And his fear, that's natural in all of us, listen, fueled his faith. His fear fueled his faith. Now let me tell you something. Fear will come in all of our lives. At some point in some time in our lives, we're going to meet up with something somewhere, somehow, someday that's going to bring fear in our hearts. But listen, it doesn't have to stay there. You can use fear to fuel your faith. Give you the ability to take your faith even further, because everything Jesus did when he was tempted in the wilderness, he used what the devil gave to him, and he used that as fuel to fuel his faith. And he said, "It is written, it is written, it is written." In other words, he didn't get in his feelings. And that's the problem with too many of us. We let fear get all in our feelings till our feelings take over and mess us up, because we're not operating by faith then. We're operating by flesh. And the flesh is fearful of that which is unknown. But faith says, "I hold the hand of the one who holds tomorrow." And if you can't mess him up, then you can't touch me unless he said it's all right. See, you got to begin to talk the word. You got to be able to let the devil know, "Listen, fear, you caught me for a few seconds there. You threw me off, you like fear would do. You caught me off guard, but hey, I got myself together. Now, you don't belong here." And I need you to know something else, that the victory is already mine. I've already been declared the winner. How have you been declared the winner? Because your boss, your daddy, your leader, Satan, has already been declared defeated. And therefore, you use the fear to fuel your faith. And then see, here is the last part of him studying his situation. He used what was in his hand, the ox gold. What is an ox gold? You ask the average person who has not heard this message what an ox gold is, and they're gonna say what? That's it, nothing, just like you just did. An ox goad was a long pole about 6 to 8 feet long. At its thickest end, it was about 6 inches around, which at that end had like a shovel or a chisel on that end. All the way back down to the other end of it, it had like a spear, a pointed spear on the other end. Now, Shamgar used his imagination, because he didn't have anything else but this ox goad as an offensive weapon. And so what did he do? He used his imagination to use this ox goad as a force, a fatal force for fighting in this battle. In other words, he could use a farming tool at one time and then turn around and use it as a fighting tool on the other hand. He didn't let fear strip him and rip him of how he was able to do something with the little that he had. And so therefore, with all of that, we move to strategy 3. What was that? He seized his success. He seized it. In other words, he took it. The Bible says the kingdom suffereth violence, and the violent taketh by force. See, my brothers and sisters, there are times in our lives when we've got to learn, listen, it might not be my turn, but it is my time. And I'm ready. I've been waiting long enough. As a matter of fact, God's been waiting on me. And so I'm going to get up and do what I got to do, because God's not going to move until I say, Lord, I am ready to follow you. And you got to make some preparation to do that. And when you start doing your part, guess what God's going to do? He's going to do his part. God will not fail you if you don't fail God. And so first thing he did was he planned his work. And then he worked his plan. That's again first strategy under C's success. He planned his work, planned his work. How important is planning the work? The work is so very important. Because here's where we get into the three simple points of understanding. He planned his work so much so that after all of his studying of his situation, after all of his surveying of his surroundings, he had enough knowledge and understanding of how to plan his strategies for success. And he started by planning his work. He didn't just haphazardly say, the first one come up here, I'm gonna kill him. I'm gonna stick him, I'm gonna shovel him up. No, he had a plan. So when you move to B in this strategy, he waited or patiently waited for every opportunity to come his way. What's important about waiting patiently for your opportunities? Here's what your property, here's what your position is. You need to be ready, because opportunity waits for no one. When opportunity comes knocking at your door, you need to be ready to say, I've been waiting on you, and move into action. So because he had planned his work, he was just waiting patiently, or patiently waiting for every opportunity. Now listen at this. If he's waiting patiently for every opportunity, it means he didn't kill 600 men at one time. He killed two at a time. Well, Pastor, how can you say he killed two at a time? Because that's how they came. You'll catch that. Listen, when the soldiers came on his property trying to rob, trying to rape, trying to disturb the decorum of the Jews, they would go into the houses, take what they wanted, take the women, did this, did that, and all the rest of that kind of stuff. And the men were defenseless to do anything about it. But a lot of time, in order to do that dirt, they split up. Stay with me here. And Shamgar, having his ox goad, which was no unfamiliar tool to them. But what did they think he was using the ox goad for? For farming uses. You see, because the ox goad would be used like this. When the ox was pulling plow, and he stopped and stayed too long in one place, Shamgar would take that long ox goad and with the sharp end remind him he's still on the job.
Yes, sir.
But then when they get to moist land where it became clay-like in certain areas, he'd switch that an ox goad around to that shovel or chisel part, and he would remove all that sticky mud-like stuff that was on the plow that was making it harder for the ox to pull off so that it would be easier for the ox to pull. They saw the ox goad every day, but they never thought it could be used in a different way. And with that same ox goad, when one would split up here, he'd watch them, he'd observe them, and he'd go and kill one. And then when the other came looking for him, guess what he'd do to the other? He said, what I did to your friend about to happen to you. Knock him off. And therefore, every opportunity gave him an opportunity to kill up to 600 men by himself with an ox goad, a simple farming tool. Listen, and I think you need to understand it. He didn't stop there. See, I need to show you this, because what he did then was he shared something very important. When he made clear that he patiently waited, he won this battle in himself first before he ever won the battle outwardly. Listen, you've got to learn this. You've got to see yourself as a winner before you even go into the battle. You got to deal with your fears and your vices and your issues before you even go into battle. Because, listen, many times we are defeated by our own thoughts. And he was able to go on and he persevered to the win. Now, you could have said he persevered and won, and that would be true because he won his battle. But he was too big in his heart and in his head to just be concerned about himself. He was concerned about his brothers and sisters who were fighting the same fight he was fighting. And my brothers and sisters, listen, as a people, we've got to learn this lesson, and you would have thought that we would have learned that a long time ago. Some of the older saints knew that, but the younger folk don't seem to understand it. We had an enemy. Now we have become our enemy. We are hurting and killing up ourselves when we need to be coming together and doing what God's called us to do and rising up. Listen, we didn't volunteer to come here, but since they brought us here, we had every opportunity to take over here. But we are not strategizing coming together. Look at all of these other ethnic groups who come here and stick together, who pull together, work together, live together, and gain great successes because they're doing it together. One of us gets something, 10 of us get mad, instead of saying, man, how did you do that? How did you get that? And the one that got it get all big and lifted up in pride and say, well, you can get it just like I got it. And so we have that crawfish and crab mentality where we start pulling up one as he make it up. He get halfway up there, think he's on his way. They reach there, pull him down. We get in high places where God gives us the privilege of being able to reach back and pull up some of our other folk, and we decide we want to change who we are and what we are. Listen, if I came from across the track and I'm blessed to make it to the other side and up into the high-rise building, I ought to have sense enough to know that God didn't just bless me to come up this way, but he blessed me to open the door for others to come up this way. And it's my responsibility to reach back and help somebody else.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911